you read the sign out there this morning or when you were driving by? Did you think it was the same one that was up there last week? Did you notice that there's a little change to it? God's plan, God's mercy, and God's grace. That prayer that John Wesley had, grace upon grace. Not just grace upon grace, but grace upon grace for something, for some activity. God does nothing. God does nothing without a plan. God does nothing that doesn't bring a return. It's in accordance with His desire. Lord, let the words of my heart, the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, God's plan or man's plan? Pharaoh, in this Exodus chapter, Pharaoh has a plan to eradicate the Israelites. And how's he going to do it? He's going to kill all the babies. Well, first he's going to try and do it through the midwives. How's that work for him? Those midwives fear God more than they fear Pharaoh. Isn't that a statement for how worldly powers aren't all that important? So he tries to work it through, in spite of the midwives, okay, what we're going to do is every Hebrew boy that's born, throw him in the Nile. Well, when Moses' mother has him for 3 months, and what does she do? She does take him to the Nile, but she puts him in a reed basket. And oh, don't you just love the way this works out? Pharaoh, who wanted to put to death all those Hebrew babies, he's got a daughter who doesn't have any children of her own, but desperately wants them. And here's this baby in this reed basket floating down the Nile, and she sees him, hears him, picks him up. And Moses' sister, who's been watching her little brother, oh, would you like me to take the baby to someone to be nursed? Yes. So the mother who surrenders her child to God's grace, to God's plan, is blessed. Because Moses' life is preserved. Why? Because God has a plan for Moses. And that Pharaoh's daughter, who had a child, is blessed by this child. She surrenders that child back to the mother, not knowing that it's going back to Moses' mother. Moses' mother raises that baby and brings Moses back to her, and she accepts him as her own son. Boy, if that's not a... God's got a plan in that. Man could not have worked it out like that. We'd have messed it up somewhere along the line. But here's this woman who surrenders her child, and this child is saved. And here's this other woman who surrenders that very same child, and that child comes back to her and is saved, and she's blessed with a son. God's got a plan. Isn't there mercy in that as well? The woman who wanted a child, the woman who has a child, the woman who has the child sees her child grow to manhood. The woman who did not have a child has a child and raises him to manhood. Why? So that both those women would be pleased and happy? No. So that those who were in slavery and bondage in Egypt would be free by the grace of God. By the grace of God. That grace upon grace. That grace upon grace. What is grace? I mean, the name of a lot of young ladies. It's a popular name. We call them Grace. We say grace. I was going to get to that. Good, good. Yes. We say grace before a meal. But as he said, grace is the undeserved, nothing that we can do. It's unmerited and loving action of God in human existence through the ever-present Holy Spirit. The undeserved, unmerited, and loving action of God in human existence through the ever-presence of the Holy Spirit. This grace is undivided. It precedes salvation. We talked about this a little bit earlier this morning. Well, grace, grace. Well, what about before we're even baptized? Before we have our confirmation? This unmerited, undeserved grace is there. It's prevenient. It goes forward before we even know that God has done what he's done for us. Before we even know that there's a cross or understand the sacrifice that God has made for you and for me. That's that prevenient grace. And then when we come to that decision point, when we come to that realization point, when we come to that point where we have this blessed assurance, we come to the understanding that God has done all of it for you and for me, that God has a plan. His plan includes mercy. His plan is based on his love for us, and it is an unmerited, undeserved, nothing that we can do. But out of that, we need to accept it. We need to recognize it. We need to take it as our own. That's that justifying grace. Because Christ justified us. I didn't justify me. You can't justify yourself. No one else can do that justification for you. It's by the grace of God. It's by his mercy that that sacrifice was made. That's in God's perfect plan. Moses didn't save himself in the Nile. Pharaoh's daughter didn't wish and have a baby. That was God's plan. And oh, how God had to laugh when Pharaoh said, I've got a plan to get rid of those Israelites. Yeah, God has a plan to do it. And he's going to take them out of Egypt in spite of all of Pharaoh's activities. Grace, God's grace, is manifested ever through even God's grace is manifested even through the suffering and evil that's in the world. You think Moses' mother didn't see grace upon grace, even though it looked like this was evil working in the world? What part of evil would have these baby boys cast into the Nile? What are in the Nile? Crocodiles. Among other things. God's plan, God's mercy, God's grace. That prevenient grace that goes before us, that prevenient grace that we don't even understand, but yet it's working in us. That justifying grace when we come to the realization that what God has done is done for us. Not so that we will all bow down and worship him and how great he is, but so that we might know him. And yes, we bow down and worship him because we know him as he knows us. And then once we've reached that realization of that justifying grace, then there's something wonderful that takes place because the grace upon grace takes on a new aspect, a new function, because now that grace, because now we know and understand and have accepted and claimed it as our own, Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and transforms our lives. And you know what? Beyond being prevenient, beyond being justified and justifying, now it becomes sanctifying. Moving on to perfection, making us something that you and I could never be. We're ordinary people. Absent the Holy Spirit, we're ordinary people. We make ordinary mistakes. We have ordinary desires. We have lusts. We have desires. We have greeds. We even have avarice, and we even murder people. for one reason or another. That violence that's in the world. There's not going to be world peace until Christ comes again. We can pray for world peace. Heaven forbid that we should stop. But world peace will not occur until Christ Jesus comes back. Because you and I, just like all the other people of this world, are human. We're not perfect yet. But when we accept that prevenient grace and that justifying grace and what Christ has done for us, then we open up our hearts and then we become part and parcel of this process of sanctification. John Wesley said, I'm moving on to perfection. John Wesley said that he had an anticipation. And every Methodist minister, man or woman, every year at annual conference, we affirm, reaffirm, that it is our hope and our expectation to be perfected even here in life. But it's not by anything that we're going to do. It's by that sanctifying grace. Grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. And by that, then, we will do those things that are good and acceptable to God. By the grace given us in fellowship, we who are many are one body in Christ. Individually, members of one another. And you know, the beauty of it is, none of us have all the gifts. Some of us have some. But as we're given gifts, then there's an expectation that we will practice them. Prophecy, in proportion to faith. Not that you're going to predict where the market's going to go. Not that you're going to predict any event or occurrence. Prophecy is not foretelling. Prophecy is forthtelling. It's the word of God that was put in Isaiah, the word of God that was put in Jeremiah, the word of God that was put into all of those prophets. And what did they do? Foretell? No. They foretold. They spoke the word that God put in their mouths, in their hearts. That's prophecy. It's by their faith. Ministry. In ministry. Doing good deeds? Not just doing good deeds. Doing good deeds because it's grace upon grace. It's God's grace in you, alive in you, doing those things. That's grace upon grace. That's ministry. We've got all these great programs, social programs. Yes, people need food. Yes, people need housing assistance. Yes, people need assistance with electricity. Yes, they need all of those assistances. Yes, yes, yes. But if it's a ministry, unlike most of those programs, because most of the programs, you can't mention Christ, you can't mention God, it's all got to be about the state and man. Not everybody feels that way, thank God. But if it's a ministry, it's out of the grace of God. It's using things in the grace and glory and in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then it's sanctifying. A teacher in teaching. There are those who don't know music as fully as they will because someone's going to teach them. And not just music. Science, biology, chemistry, history, sociology, everything that's out there, every piece of wisdom that's out there for us to learn. Somebody had to show us that path. Someone had to lead us. And that's where teaching comes into play. Do you have the patience of a teacher? Oh, hallelujah. And then the one I like most is that exhorter. Not an extorter, but an exhorter. When people proclaim the word of God, not the word of man, when people proclaim the word of God, then they are exhorting. And they're not exhorting to make themselves powerful, to give themselves pleasure. They're exhorting. Why? They're exhorting so that the word of God is revealed to people, so they open up their hearts, so that they realize that the prevenient grace was there ahead of time, that Christ Jesus died on the cross for them and they're justified, and that there's that process that begins when they realize that, and they take that blessed assurance into their lives, and it changes them. Bless you. And a giver. A giver. Oh, God loves a joyful giver, a joyful heart. That giver is in generosity. As you have been given, as you've been blessed, then you give richly, but out of a generosity. How many people think that the only gift that you can give is a monetary gift? I tell you, the gift of music that we get each Sunday, the gift of music that we get is a magnitude. I understand that the lights need to be on, and I understand it's nicer in here with the air conditioning running. And that doesn't happen without some monetary compensation. Not compensation, a tithe. And a blessing. And we do that. But those gifts and talents and that giving that we give is of those gifts and talents. If it's a teacher, that's what you give. If you're an exhorter, that's what you give. If you're someone who's been blessed with so many of those other gifts, then do it. Play music, sing music to the glory of God so that others may see the glory of God evident in you. Hallelujah. Leader and diligence. Realizing that when you're put in that place, position of leadership and responsibility, then don't lead them astray. Don't tell them it's okay because it's okay and you think it's okay. If it doesn't say it's okay in the scriptures, then don't lead somebody down the wrong path and tell them it's okay. Because God loves you. You can go ahead and do whatever you want. God still loves you. If God says it's not okay, I don't get to say it's okay. God wants to change it, He'll change it. But heaven help me if I do. And heaven help anyone else who leads one of those little lambs astray. Compassionate. Compassionate. How compassionate? How do we show compassion for our brothers and sisters? How do we show love for our brothers and sisters? Do we share compassion with our brothers and sisters by visiting them and just sitting there and, yeah, well, that's really bad. What time is it? I've been here for an hour. Okay, I've done what I needed to do. Okay, I've done my deed today, Lord. I've been compassionate. Is it okay for me to leave now, Lord? No, do it with cheerfulness. Do it with cheerfulness. You like being there. Why do you like being there? Because God is using you. Do you know when you should leave? When they start breaking out dinner, it might be a time to leave, especially if you got there at lunch. And you want them to be cheerful when you leave. Well, okay. Maybe they're going to be more cheerful when you leave. But when you're compassionate, you do it with joy and with cheerfulness. Don't do it as if it's some labor or chore that you would, oh, I would be any other place than here. God help you if that's your version of compassion. Compassion is when you do something for somebody and you know they can't repay you. When you do something for someone and you do it with a cheerful heart, you do it with a smile on your face, and you don't have an expectation or a realization or an anticipation that anybody's going to be able to repay you. Because you know what? Christ hung on a cross for you and for me. And there is absolutely nothing that I could ever do that merits what He did for me, or even deserve what He did for me. on that cross. And if you think, oh, he was the Son of God, he can bear anything, well, then I tell you why that night in Gethsemane did he pray on his knees till blood flowed from his brow and say, Lord, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. If there be any other way. But not my will. Not my will. Thy will be done. Grace. Grace upon grace. God's plan, his purpose, God's mercy, that love that allows us to keep on going, and his grace, prevenient, justifying, sanctifying. Grace. Peace. Shalom. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.